So the question for today is, when we're praying, is it really just asking Adonai for things? Do we really only have two modes that we go into when we pray? It seems that for so many, prayer is a bit of praising, you know, a little bit of praising, and then a whole lot of asking Adonai for stuff. That's what it is for a lot of people. However, I would say there's actually five steps to a complete prayer. That doesn't mean that in every situation we get to pray for all five steps. If a lion is roaring at you and running at you, you may not get to all five steps. But that's okay. He knows your heart. Adonai knows your heart. The lion might want your heart, but Adonai knows your heart, and hopefully we all have a heart that's in the right place and in the right condition. So let me set up today's message just by sharing the steps of prayer. And this is for when you're in your prayer closet at home, in private, or even in a congregational setting with other people. But here's what a good prayer sounds like. First, it's praise. You know, open the prayer up with praise. Praise who he is. Praise what he's done. There's always something that he's done. Even if it's only for the breath in your lungs, praise him for that. Praise him for the future you have in Messiah Yeshua. Praise him. Then we come to confession or repentance. This is the way of coming to him with a clean heart. We're to profess or confess these sins that we know of and repent of them so they can be cleansed by the blood. It's the time to ask the Ruach to search our hearts so that those things that hide from the world and even from ourselves at times, those things that hide in the dark corners, would come to light so that we can confess and repent of them. Then we have the petition, or the request, or the ask. And this is the way of coming to him with the, this is the time that we get to bring before him our heart's request to him. These things could be salvation for others, could be healing for others or yourself. It could be just a resolution of a situation that you or someone else is in. Whatever it is that's on your heart, pour it out to him. And then we have the fourth step is worship, much like praise, and sometimes it swaps position with praise. This is the confession of just who he is. Creator of the world, who he is, your God, the only one. I like to think of praise as thanking him and worship as acknowledging who he is. And finally, I would say, listen. Stop. Quiet your heart. Quiet your mouth. Open your ears to him. Open your heart to him and see what he has for you. Now, these are the steps of a well-ordered prayer, but the order you do them in can be personalized. They don't have to be these five in a row, just like that. I would say that we should always want to open with either praise or worship, and that confession and repentance should always be before the ask. And then listening, which seems to fit to me sometimes after asking, because you want to wait on the Lord and hear if he has something for you immediately. But as far as the order goes, it's mostly up to you. Make it personal. Make it for you. Now for today, I want to take a closer look at the asking or the petition or the request portion of our prayer. Whatever it is you want to call it. It can sometimes take up as so much of our prayer time. It probably shouldn't be the majority of our prayer time, but sometimes that's what happens. So we want to think about how we feel about it, the step, and are we doing it right even? In this week's portion even, this week's Torah portion of Toldot, we see where both Isaac and his wife Rebekah prayed to Adonai in Genesis 25. Within just a few verses, they both prayed. Let's take a look at that. Genesis 25, 21. Isaac prayed to Adonai on behalf of his wife because she was barren. Adonai answered his plea, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. But as the children struggled with one another inside her, and she said, if it's like this, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of Adonai. When we want or need something, or when we're in trouble, or even when we don't understand something, we instinctually turn to Adonai and plead with him for help. But we should be turning to Adonai in more than just the times of trouble. Maybe you heard the saying that came out of World War II, there are no atheists in a foxhole. Even when people don't believe in God, when they're in danger, what do? Oh God, help. As believers, we should be turning to him for all things and during all times. And it's okay to ask at any time, and regardless what we're going through or doing. So let's take a bit deeper dive into questioning, into the questions of asking Adonai. I want to look at who should be asking. I want to look at why are we asking, when we should be asking, where are we asking, what are we to be asking for? And finally, how are we to ask? And I know you're already thinking, how is he going to do this in half an hour, 40 minutes? I'm not. It's going to take a couple of weeks. Probably two, maybe three. We'll see. When I think about the subject of asking Adonai in prayer, I believe the most basic question, the one that should be asked first, is who should be asking of Adonai? Excuse me as I pop a drop. And we get an answer in Psalm 145. Psalm 145, starting in 14. Adonai upholds all who fall and rises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food on time. You open your hand and satisfy every living thing with favor. Adonai is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. We see that Adonai not only is able, but wants to help those he created and who are fallen. It says all, and I think that the natural stress should be on the word all. He upholds all who are fallen, who are bowed down. That all who fall will be raised up when they're willing to acknowledge him as king and bow down before him. Everyone can call on the name of Adonai, but there has to be some faith behind the prayer. And I'll speak about faith later on. Because it also says that all who look towards him, that his generosity is shown. That he opens his hands to every living thing with favor. There are none that are not included in his mercies when they are aligned with him. The world will sometimes call out to God, but they don't have that true sense of who He is, and therefore are not able to receive fully of His mercies. There will be times that His mercies are so great that He does for the unbeliever. Doesn't happen often, but I believe mostly His intention is of saving them spiritually. So He gives them time physically to come to Him. So then, who does Adonai hear? Let's read the next few verses from Psalm 145. We had already read 14 to 17. Let's start back up at 18. Adonai is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear Him. He will hear their cry and save them. These verses tell us that it is not the what He does that should be our focus, but instead it reinforces the who He shows His love towards and the right condition that they have to be in while they're doing the asking. Adonai is near to all who call on Him in truth. What does it mean to be calling on Him in truth? Calling on Him in truth means that we are to come to Him with sincerity and a heart aligned with His will. If we believe that Adonai is the truth in all things, then we are to be aligned with the truth that is Him. This means that we are to come and ask when we have a knowledge of who He is and of His character as revealed to us in Scripture. This involves worshiping Him not just during the Shabbat service, but all the time and in many ways. In our hearts with songs, our minds with meditation of His Word, and our bodies by our actions towards Him and towards those He created, which means all people. The answer of who is to come to Him and ask of Him are those who have the knowledge of who He is and that He is the truth. We learn that He is the truth through the Ruach and through the Word of Scriptures. Then we can be the one who can come to Him in truth. So if we are the who, what should we ask of Adonai? Excuse me, why should we ask of Adonai? Do we ask just to get things? And if it is just for things, what things should we be asking for? I believe that we can ask for anything, but that does not mean that we will get everything. A child can ask their mom for a cookie just before dinner. Doesn't mean the child's getting a cookie from mom. So, we have to look at ourselves and ask first of ourselves, what are we asking for? Because that will answer the why we are asking of Adonai. If we are only asking for cookies, then we're asking out of our flesh. And we read from Matthew what Yeshua says about asking. So Matthew 7:7, starting there for a couple of verses. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it shall be open. For what man among you, when his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or when he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So in all things, do to others what you would want them to do to you. For this is the Torah and the prophets. Yeshua says to ask so that you have. And just as your Father on earth can give good things, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you that's even better? In that final verse, he says what it is that is even better than that Adonai really wants to give you. It's the Torah and the words of the prophet. What's better for you than the truth of the word of Adonai? That is, that will feed you and sustain you. There's nothing like the word. He knows it is his words, and he wants you to know it also. So when we read James 4, we're told why we don't actually have. So James 4, starting in verse 1. Where do quarrels and conflicts come from? Don't they come from this, namely your passions that battle within your body parts? You crave and have not. You murder and you envy, yet you cannot get it. You fight and you wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives so that you may spend it on your passions. Adonai says that we don't have, not because he doesn't want to give it, but because we don't ask. James is not talking about the cookie, but that thing of the flesh, but the wisdom and knowledge of Adonai. He says that we don't have because we don't ask, and that not asking is a sign, really, of a lack of faith. It's as if you're saying, why should I bother asking if he won't give it to me? Or even, it's such a small thing, why should I bother asking? No, we ask in faith and with the right heart attitude and for the right reasons and for the right things. This is why we are to ask. And this hints on the how we ask that I'll eventually get to. Another reason we ask is because of the confidence that we should have when we do ask. This is what John wrote in 1 John. 1 John 5:13. I wrote these things to you who believe in the name of Ben Elohim, so you may know that you have eternal life. Now, this is the confidence that we have before, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have from him. Boy, that sounds a lot like, if you take it out of context, a prosperity message. Just ask. Just ask. Ask for the Mercedes. Ask for the jet, even though it's bad for the environment. Ask aligned with what he wants you to have. And there's a confidence that we are to have when we ask. This confidence allows us to be assured of two things in life. First and foremost is that when we trust and have faith in Messiah Yeshua, Ben Elohim, the Son of God, that our eternal life is ensured in his presence. That's the first. Second assurance that we have is that when we ask something that is aligned with him, or as James says, in according to his will, he hears and will answer our prayers. This should build up in us a boldness in our asking of him, not a brashness, not a cockiness, but a boldness with the power, against the power of the world. Like when a little brother has a big brother that protects him, he knows nothing's going to happen to him at school or in the neighborhood. The thing we need to be careful of is that the boldness does not cause us to become so bold that we ask for the desires of the flesh. Our requests must be kept in check by the Ruach to do what it is that the Ruach wants, not what we want. Now, another reason we ask is found in Jeremiah 33. So Jeremiah 33:1. When the word of Adonai came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still confined in the guard's courtyard, saying, "Thus says Adonai the maker, Adonai who formed it to make it firm. Adonai is his name. Call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you great and hidden things which you did not know." Jeremiah was still confined in jail when he wrote this. But he prayed to Adonai, and Adonai said he would answer with knowledge of things that only Adonai could know. He didn't say he would release him from the jail, but instead, he was going to give him knowledge of what was to come so that he could share it, share the truth with others. Jeremiah's requests were always to get to know the ways of Adonai better and to share the prophecies to the world so they would come because they've seen proof of who Adonai is, and the hope of living within his love and his mercies. So why do we ask of Adonai? There are times to ask for help that we need. But above all, we are to call on Adonai for wisdom and knowledge. Not to hoard it or keep it to ourselves, but to share it with the world. What good would it be to acknowledge the love of Adonai that he has for the world if we hoard it and hold it only for ourselves instead of sharing the love with other people and the world? What good would it be to turn our backs on them as if to say, just because Adonai loves you doesn't mean I have to? You do. You do have to love them. And if your prayers reflect that love and your actions reflect that love, then your prayers and asks will be answered. The bottom line about the why we are to ask is not to get things, not to get the cookie, but to get more of him and his wisdom in our lives so that we can share the light with the world. So now, today, we got through a little bit about the construction of a prayer, the who and the why we ask of Adonai. And next week, we'll continue with asking Adonai. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you that you are the King. Not just you are the King, you are our King, our Savior, the one we lift up in truth, because you are true. And you give us confidence in asking of you when we get to know you better and better. Ruach, we just thank you for your protection, for your love, and your desire to bless your people when they bow down before you. We humbly bow before you, not for what we can get from your hand. We humbly bow before you to get to know you face to face. We may not be able to see your face right now, but we look forward to that time when we will get to see you face to face. We love you and praise you, and everyone said, amen and amen. So Michael's coming up.